Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Friermuth Friday on the Ramon Foster Show. He's Ramon, 11-year starting guard in the National Football League, all 11 of those for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I'm Dan Kovacevic of DK Pittsburgh Sports here in downtown Pittsburgh. You like how I made that sound anticlimactic, Mo?
It was, man. You said that.
I had to think about who I was.
You did.
Friday is kind of my weekend.
You've checked,
so to speak.
You checked the boxes.
I checked out. Okay. And I have to share with everybody a fun little story here.
Okay. All right? Let's do it. Absolutely.
So Moan and I log on. We get into this box like this, him and his box, me and my box. And he looks at me and goes, "What do you say we only go a half hour today?" I was like, "Yeah,
you did. You did." So we're going to do it. We think we're going to keep it within the parameters of what we said and just do exactly what we said we were going to do today. It is Friermuth Friday. We're going to speak about that for a second or two. What else I was about to say too? And I got some other starred stuff too, DK, that I was just some unique Friday stuff, man. Mike in Texas, what we talking about, man? Broken hearted. What the heck? Broken heart? Oh, don't do this, Mike. Don't do this, Mike. We're better than this.
Here, let's ding a bell here and get moving.
A quick one. Feel like that is the two-way joke right there. Okay,
Casey? There's some innuendo there. Hi.
Hey.
So Pat Friermuth is quite the subject. For anybody who missed yesterday's show, it came up near the end, and we were like, we should just invest an episode in this, because Friermuth might be as central of a figure to the Arthur Smith offense as anyone this side of the quarterback.
Yeah.
And he's also, and this was what you brought up, and this was what I really wanted to talk about. He's also, man, he's due for, he's got a year in him. He's got 17 games of impact in him. Do you believe that, Moan?
I think he does, man. I don't know where it will come down to. By the way, quick update on that, too. Y'all saw me reach out yesterday. At least I showed it to DK. I slid in his DMs. Okay, you know how it goes these days. I slid in his DMs. He hit me back relatively quickly, too. DK and I talked privately about him before and how we speak of each other, too. So it was a natural connection between Pat and myself. And he's in on the show. He sent me his numbers like, hey, it's easy to communicate with me this way. I asked him, did he have time today? He's actually traveling today. So not today. He was willing, but he's actually on a plane as it stands right now. So Pat is locked in. Pat and I will have the conversation. DK will be replaced again. Okay. Hey, yes. Yes, you will be. And we're going to have a good time, man. Pat's one of those dudes that I appreciate a good bit, man. But with that being said, the conversation of Pat Friermuth came up because of Arthur Smith. I actually dropped the Arthur Smith conversation with him in our text message that we had. He has some good stuff to say about him also. So that's the thing about it. He understands what Arthur Smith can do for him, it seems, at least on the surface level, for what he's done in other places. It's unique because Arthur Smith's situation is this. The first two tight ends taken, Arthur Smith is going to be coaching them. He's already coached Kyle Pitts, and Pat Friermuth was the second tight end in that 2021 draft. Yes, as that car blazes by the shop right now.
You like that?
That was good right
there. That wasn't the speed limit back there.
Yeah, but that was not the speed limit. But the understanding of Pat's role, I'm hoping this time around for Arthur Smith, he understands what to do with being in this coordinator role, number one, and also with the talent that you have. You literally have number one. You work with number one as far as Kyle Pitts goes, and you got number two right now under your belt as far as Pat Freiermuth goes in Pittsburgh. So here's the thing about it for me. Pat is yet to have an entire season of health. That's where we are, number one.
Number one.
Number one. That's the number one thing we got to work on when it comes down to Pat Freiermuth, right? But with that, when he's out there, he's effective. You need a guy to block. Pat probably doesn't love blocking like most tight ends, okay? But they have to learn to appreciate blocking. And that's where he is, I feel like, in his career moving forward. But it's also his ability to make plays. Pat's best years, man, was only about, and I say this only because most tight ends don't have a whole lot of yards. 732 yards is what he had. And that, to me, tells me he's more than capable.
He's more than capable.
As far as the yards for tight ends, you'll somewhat treat that DK like what? Like sacks for defensive ends. Like, it's good, but their effectiveness can be more blocking some days than it is actually pass catching. What that does tell you about Pat Freiermuth is what? He does have the ability to be a weapon offensively, especially as we keep saying this right here. Where is the comment that I just saw about Washington? Okay. Especially being able to have that conversation. I ain't sure we're talking about the next Eric Green or nothing.
No, we're
like
not.
No. Okay.
Eric Green was a special receiver for a massively bodied tight end.
But when it comes down to having a yin and a yang, right? Your pass catching tight end and your blocking tight end. And we've also seen that Mount Washington can also catch the ball too if utilized properly. Those are the things I'm hoping Arthur Smith is breaking down, seeing some stuff, and being capable of craft that plan the way he did somewhere here in Nashville.
When I think of Pat Freiermuth, I'm going to go the completely positive route and think about Cincinnati.
Okay.
That was breathtaking. Okay, that was Heath Miller-esque. Yeah. Okay, I don't want to hear about Eric Green because they're very different bodies. When you think of Heath's build, Heath's structure, there's more of that in Freiermuth than there is of an Eric Green, or for that matter, even Travis Kelce, who's just this massive guy who's just this freak of nature, right? Mm-hmm. I think of Freiermuth, the 9 catches, the 135 yards, the fact that the Bengals said, hey, let him beat us, and so he did. That's actually what happened. Yeah. As Mike Tomlin even stated, this was in the stadium in Cincinnati afterward. He said, if they're going to give us that, we're going to take it. Absolutely. He never says stuff like that after a game. Oh. He never talks about the opponent. Everything is Steelers, Steelers, Steelers. You know what else he never says, Moan?
What's that?
How much does it take to get Tomlin to say something positive about the blocking who is not an offensive lineman?
How soon does he have to say that? He's going to bring that up quickly.
No, I know, but how often do you hear him say something positive about somebody's blocking who isn't on the offensive line?
Not often at all. No, absolutely not. Unless that's a big play or right. Big game.
Right. Which group of position players does he hover over more intensely than any other on the field, offense or defense?
There's tight ends.
Tight ends. And what is he watching them do when block. He's hovering? He's watching them crush into these sleds, and he will stand there like Papa Bear doing it. Okay. Yep. Now, take all that into context. And hear what I'm going to say here, my contribution to the Freiermuth conversation. Near the end of the season, and then again at season's end, Tomlin said that the Steelers really got a different Freiermuth over the last 3-4 weeks. Now, I know we're continuing a theme here about how the offense all came to life, okay? But specifically on Freiermuth, he felt, the head coach did, that they got a Freiermuth at the line of scrimmage that they hadn't had previously. Now, Talk about timing, huh?
Yeah.
You do that to impress the new coordinator as opposed to having him look at your first 11, 12 weeks, right?
Because that's the thing about it. When you do that type of stuff, it makes the OC wants to give you the ball in situations. Yes. Like, if we can be honest, George Kittle is an awesome football player. But a lot of people are going to tell you they love his blocking almost more than his pass catching ability. When we're talking about premier pass catcher, you got to go to Andrews in Baltimore. And you got to go to Travis Kelce in Kansas City. Those are your two tight ends that are the premier catchers of the league. And Kelce don't block a whole lot now since he's a little bit older. He still does some, but it's also fascinating. So I did a little intel as far as just looking at that tight end group, because I want to be fair and judging Pat Freiermuth too. That's the thing about it. As instead of trying to compare him to Travis Kelce or Andrews out of Baltimore, right? And I like Kevin's comment right here.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Kevin's comment said tight end blocking is the last and hardest skill to accomplish at the NFL level for most tight ends. There's another drill, DK, that Coach Tomlin goes and hover over too, that involves a tight end. That's DNs versus tight ends.
Okay.
Those two drills. That involves blocking. That involves you going to beat a man. So the big sled always the big sled first, and then backs on backers. And that's tight ends versus DNs too. You have to be able to master those two things. So the intel that I have, and anybody can go find this type of stuff, but in that 2021 draft that Pat came into, you got Kyle Pitts. Okay, he's number one overall as far as tight ends go. What was he, number four? Mm-hmm. If I'm not mistaken. Somewhat underwhelming, but he's also got a Pro Bowl under his belt too. He's a freak of an athlete. Number two, it falls to Pat Freiermuth. And here's the thing behind it. Their stats state that Kyle Pitts has had more pass catching coming his way, so he's got like over 2,000 yards. Pat Freiermuth is sitting around career 1,500 yards on the season. He's got more weapons, I feel like, now in Pittsburgh that should allow him to grow more too. But the only other guy that's in competition with this trio, and I think he's behind the eight ball a little bit more as a later round guy, because he's got Travis Kelce in front of him, is Noah Gray. The three out of that class is Kyle Pitts, Pat Freiermuth, and Noah Gray, who had a role in the Super Bowl also this year. Remember they kept going to a secondary tight end?
Yes.
It was Noah Gray in Kansas City. But those are the three in 21's class.
There's a lot of mentioning of Kyle Pitts here, and I'm not going to pretend to be some kind of expert on Atlanta football. I don't cover the Falcons. However, I will say this. If your contention about Arthur Smith is that, well, he didn't throw to Kyle Pitts as much as he should have in Atlanta,
yeah,
I'm gonna counter with, you saw Atlanta's offense, right? You saw what they were trying to do and sometimes did, which was just run the ball like maniacs. Mm-hmm. Sometimes like it was 1964. Okay. I'm going to guess that the reason for that was that they were quarterback free. Okay. Yeah. And if that's the case, you have no choice but to have Kyle Pitts blocking. I have a really hard time believing that that's willful. Maybe it is. Maybe it is, Moan. I don't know. You saw more of the Falcons than I did because of the division.
So here's the thing about Kyle. He only played 10 games last year, okay? Mm-hmm. He made Pro Bowl, if I'm not mistaken, the year before that. We want to talk about Kyle Pitts and his use. Barring his injuries, his targets have been very, very high. In his Pro Bowl season, he had 110 targets for 68 catches and over 1,000 yards and made the Pro Bowl. His second year, which is Pat's second year, he only had like 50, which is still a high volume number for a guy in 10 games. That's five a game essentially at that point. But he only played in 10 games because of injuries. And in 2023, that year, DK, give me 1 second. 2023, I think he still had over 500 receiving yards for a tight end, which is right on par for what tight ends productions are. So here we go. You ready to hear his numbers as far as utilizing what Kyle Pitts has done and what Arthur Smith is capable of doing with the tight end position? Hmm. Like, don't let the media fluff you and just don't give you the whole story. Kyle Pitts had 90 targets, 53 receptions, and 667 receiving yards. That sounds to me like a lot of involvement. That, DK, to me. So here are these numbers. Kyle Pitts had 90 targets. All right. Jonnu Smith, the secondary tight end, had 70. We're talking about 160 targets to your tight ends on the season.
Yeah, second most targets.
Yeah.
They just didn't throw the ball much.
They didn't throw it much, or they had a quarterback that they didn't believe in, so they checked down and stuff like that. 667 yards is a good bit. Like that's a good chunk for starting tight ends. I need not everybody's Kelsey. Not everybody's Mark Andrews. Like, that's where we're basing this on. And these two dudes are young. What other young tight end? I hate I'm going to ask this question. What other young tight end is crushing it in the NFL besides the old guys? We can't really name another young Thundercat.
Because the guys that we're talking about are still the same names we've been talking about for years for the most part. It can still happen. Jedi is going to get our segment done for the day and says, you know, what's holding back Pat Freiermuth the most? Is it, you know, is it quarterback vision? Is it his route running? Is it scheme? No, it's not any of those things, my friends. And Pat would tell you the answer to this one himself if and when he makes it onto this show, as he's told us he's coming.
He will.
Okay. And you know what he's going to say?
What?
He's going to be on the field.
Hey, I got a breaking news for you.
Okay.
The Steelers have a release. Mason Cole.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a surprise. It's not an excessive surprise. I mean,
early on, I'm like, okay. Early.
That just means that they felt that his cap value wasn't a match, you know? In order to pay somebody, we talked about this on the show, I think, just last week. If you're going to pay somebody, you know, $5, $6 million, you'd better be an elite backup. You'd better be somebody who's coming in at multiple positions, including, by the way, tackle.
And so we said we was only doing 30. Golly, look at this. Now it springs forward. My wheels everywhere. Now, either way, we'll make this happen, DK.
Anyway, finish up on Pat here.
LaPorta. My bad.
Jeff just says right here, he's got to stay healthy. Okay. Pat needs to find a way. And I know it's very rarely the athlete's fault or whatever, for getting hurt or whatever. You still got to find a way to do it, you know?
Yeah. And just to round this off, because we'll talk Mason Cole stuff just a little bit too, if you don't mind. Fast Friday also. But here's the thing. Mm-hmm. In 2023, Atlanta's tight ends, two, if you think you got two in Pittsburgh, accumulated for 1,100 yards at the tight end position. They were a focal point probably because they needed to somewhat. Okay? But the idea that Pat Freiermuth would have the ability to make that jump that we expect him to have, I think that's huge offensively, because that starts to free up. Because you were asking the other day, okay, we got a one, we got a two. Who's our number three receiver in Pittsburgh?
It should be him.
There we go.
It should be Freiermuth. It shouldn't be whoever it is that they pick up. It shouldn't be Calvin Austin. It shouldn't be, you know, some kind of fringy guy who's also on special teams. It should be Pat Freiermuth.
And by the way, I was LaPorta. And Detroit is a young tight end that's pretty good. But he's also got a quarterback you can trust and weapons and an offensive line around him, too. That's a different story. Tell the whole story. And Njoku ain't in this conversation. He's older than Pat. Think way older than Pat.
Yeah, Njoku's been around for a while. Really good football player, though.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, guys. We'll be right back with the only segment that matters.
And that's, hey, Mons, Fast Friday. We got breaking news. There we go.
At DK Pittsburgh Sports, we take pride in coverage that connects our city's fans to their favorite teams. Now, that connection's stronger than ever. Introducing our all-new state-of-the-art app. Find expert inside reporting and original podcasts. Check live box scores. Track the latest stats. Chat it up with our community of thousands of fans, all in one place. The new app from DK Pittsburgh Sports. Coverage that connects.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Back to the Ramon Foster Show. It is, among other things, somebody's come up with names for this already. It's a Freiermuth Friday. It's a rapid fire Friday. And Mason Cole was just released. So there's a lot to talk about, and my goodness, we're only going to be here for another 12 minutes. So let's kind of get to it, right, Moan?
Or yeah, I got one I want to put up real fast, DK, because I don't think we ever said this on this show.
Okay.
BJ said, hey, Moan, you and DK talked earlier about Nick Herbig being athletic enough to play middle linebacker. I never said that. I don't think you have either. We said exclusively he's an outside edge rusher. Can he float the around Steelers the middle of the defense?
Yeah. The Steelers say this emphatically.
Exactly. He can float around the middle of the defense, but I don't think he's a middle linebacker. And you say, what do you think of Mark Robinson being utilized as an edge rusher? I also do think exclusively he's an inside linebacker. Mark just got to get on the field and stay on the field. That's his thing.
And cover people.
Let's see, is that too?
And I'm cover just, people.
Yeah. His rushing seems to be more bull rushing than it is finesse and having a plan.
Yeah. He is a guy who just zeroes in and closes. And to me, I love the way Mark Robinson's been used by Mike Tomlin and Terrell Austin in really quick bursts as a gimmicky thing. You know what I'm talking about?
Yo, I do.
Excuse me. He's like, when you think about the games that he's been most effective, been against Baltimore. You know why? Because they know that they can count on him to chase number eight and make sure that eight stays in the pocket. And he's done that. And it's a really gimmicky role.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing wrong with that, man. You can put any 11 guys you want on the field anywhere you want, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, DK, 100%.
So here, we're going to get started here. This is the Hey Moan segment. Polly says, since you played with Heath Miller, you can complain Muth to the Godfather. Can you compare Muth to the Godfather for us?
Similar but different. By the way, I looked up Heath Miller's career yards with the Steelers.
Moan did call him Earl, by the way.
It is Earl. Okay. He's the Godfather, man. He definitely. Heath has like 6,600 yards as a career. Heath was more impactful with his explosion plays, situational plays, than he was as far as like yards. 6,600. I expect that Heath to be close to like 8,000 to 10,000.
Slam. The other thing that jumps out about Heath Miller, as much as people love him here, and his blocking was outstanding and everything, the thing that jumps out for me with Heath always and forever is he was Mr. First Down and or Mr. Third Down conversion. Seven would go, I need a first down. Well, guess what, everybody? I'm about to throw to 83. And there's it didn't Earl. Matter who knew it.
The Godfather, man. So the difference, can I compare? Only comparison I have, Heath was always available.
That's
only time he wasn't. Again.
Yeah.
Only time he wasn't, I think, is when he had the ACL that year. That was it. Always available, always reliable. Oh, my gosh, Earl. I'm going to have to text him, tell him, oh, let me screenshot this so I can say, hey, they're talking about you on my podcast.
Man, if you get a good interview out of Heath Miller, then you're the Godfather.
You don't think I can. That's the real
deal. Nicest man on earth. Not exactly, not exactly a big talker. Claude says, hey, Moan, are we going to be able to build a team worthy enough with the new cap space? And of course, there's an additional $30 million that just came available to everybody today. Seeing as we had minimal cap space before, how much does the new cap space help the Steelers?
It's up $30 million more than they thought it was going to be more. Yeah. So it's up there. Here's the thing, though, too. Don't let that number throw you off because the players know they got more money. Again, remember, I've been warning y'all. The reality of what players are getting paid is going up. So a dude that may only be worth one now is going to get three. So that increase in cap also goes to the players too. So, but with that being said, if Pittsburgh can manage the cap as best as they possibly can and go find some unique pieces, you can. But you don't want to be buying guys at a very high value too. You don't play that game. Does that mean it may be easier to retain Mason? Maybe. Mm-hmm. Or whoever else at this point.
Robert says, DK did say that Nick Herbig should play middle linebacker on his Daily Shot Show. Actually, no. What I said was that everything should be considered. I also said that the Steelers appear to be emphatically opposed to it, which is what I was just reiterating now. And remember, however much you might like this show, we don't make the decisions. They do.
100%.
If they think Nick Herbig should be nothing other than an edge rusher, then that's what Nick Herbig is going to be because they run things. And Mason's money, by the way, that's there now anyway. It's not a money issue of keeping Mason. It's a matter of allocation. So the Steelers are one of the very few teams in the NFL that are not paying quarterbacks at a quarterback rate.
That's very true.
I'm worried that it just benefits the free agent salaries and doesn't lead to an improved roster. That's how these go, though, Moan, isn't it?
It's 100% correct. It goes into
bigger salaries.
Yeah, it's for bigger salaries.
Stars end up eating up this money anyway.
That's where cam extension may come in. You got more flexibility, but with that big pile, that's distribution to the players too.
Yeah, I mean that's the main thing here to think about when you get this extra cap space, and now even more because Mason Cole getting cut. You still have to see Allen Robinson getting cut. That's why don't be looking at numbers right now. They don't mean anything. No. Yeah, Allen Robinson clears out $11 million.
Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. You can make decisions on Patrick Peterson. You have a lot of different calls that still need to be made where you can free up big money for what position, Moan? Where would they be spending all this money?
It's on my quarterback.
No, I want inside linebacker.
Oh, inside linebacker.
I want enough of them lined up outside my door all the way down Fifth Avenue.
The right one.
Okay.
We'll get found out.
Like a Bugs Bunny cartoon where they just come marching through, you know, inside linebacker parade.
100% DK.
But I want that inside linebacker parade to be held or to be fronted by Elandon Roberts and Cole Holcomb. All right. As long as we're clear on that.
You love Elandon.
I loved all three of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't distinguish between the three. I don't acknowledge that there's any difference. Okay.
That's real.
They were a single. I just loved it. It was so much fun watching that defense with those guys just going around and getting after it. They were so close. You know, if they can pull something like that off again, I don't know that you need to get a Devin White or some superstar.
Yeah, that's fair. I take that.
So let's see what else we got here. Teresa says she feels the need for Legarius Sneed. Yeah, everyone wants him.
His price again, y'all gonna have to stomach the fact that when you want players like that, then he's gonna account for about $23 to $25 million too.
But you know how this goes, Lo, on a day like this? What's everybody that? Looks at that cap and they go, oh, there it is. There's the Sneed money.
We don't care.
it's not that simple. It's not that simple here.
Yeah.
Let's see what else we got here. Nova says, hey, Moan, do you find it odd that Mike Tomlin hasn't been extended yet? Do you think it's due to seeing how he deals with the changes with an outside coordinator? Art Rooney said he's going to get extended. Yeah. Tomlin said he's acknowledged that he's going to get extended.
Yeah.
Just a matter of finding a pen and paper.
You got to think they also work on league year two with new money and stuff like that. There's no rush for it. He's still under contract. So an extension, whether it be now, whether it be in July, I think is a non-issue and a no story too, because they both acknowledge it's going to get done.
Here's one thing we didn't bring up in the Freiermuth section. Antonio, and this is really, really valid, says when Pat Freiermuth was drafted out of Penn State, he was looked at as a red zone threat. Hopefully he becomes that threat in this new offense. You've seen Muth do good things in the end zone. He's not just that middle target. He'll go to the corners. Win. Yeah. And he can win a route too. He can win a slant route. He can win whatever it is that you need from him. My goodness, can you imagine that?
Man, he can win. That's the thing about it. You've seen. Remember, he came back from the ribs, or was it the ribs that got him hurt on catching the touchdown in the end zone? Remember, he had the plate on.
They crushed him in the end zone early on. This guy, by the way, I'm sorry, Moan. I just have to say this because I was. If you knew the pain through which he was playing early on, you'd never wonder about his commitment or his desire. Dude couldn't breathe. I'd go up to him like 2 weeks after that, and I'd say, hey, are you doing all right? Like, not as an interview or anything. You doing okay?
Yeah. I'm fine. I'm okay, DK. It's all good.
Really?
Yeah. It's where the Godfather hit me back to. I got to let him know I'm going to be in Charlottesville soon, too. UVA, where his school is at.
Oh,
he laughed when he saw the Godfather and Earl reference. He went, ha ha, I see the Earl and the Godfather on there. He says, hilarious. Miss you, my brother. Hope all is well with you and the family. So I'll give you guys an update on this type of stuff. You can't get that nowhere else, man. Y'all like that.
Yeah, this is true. This is true. See, I'm just smiling thinking about Heath Miller playing football. Never mind Heath Miller, the guy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's awesome. One, and maybe there's something we just saved to the over the weekend, though, too, DK, is I keep seeing the Mason Cole cut conversation and who's our center. Like, I think it may become more obvious about them wanting one in this draft. I don't know who's available free agency. I think Miami have one that's coming up as far as free agency goes, but you might be able to put the tag on him. All in all, I think that does raise the conversation about Jaxson Powers-Johnson just a little bit, and we'll go further down that lane at a later date.
And I'll remind that the policy that was in place under Kevin Colbert, does not necessarily have to be the policy that's under place under new management, even though Omar Khan learned a lot of things from KC and has acknowledged that. The old policy would have been, we're going to go and get a center, a free agency center.
Yeah.
And then we're going to draft a center. We're going to do both.
Yeah.
That's how this goes. So I wouldn't be thinking too much about the way they used to do things, but I will say this. When you this early let go of a player at that position who was starting, who was getting the ball in some form or other to your quarterback, snap after snap after snap,
yeah,
you've already got somebody in mind.
Yeah, you do.
And it's not a draft pick.
Yeah, right.
Okay,
right,
it's just DK? Not. It's going to be somebody who they know is available in free agency and probably through some channels know that, you know, they wouldn't mind having a job in Pittsburgh.
The Miami center I was speaking of is Connor Williams. He's up, but he also tore his ACL close to the end of last season too. So there's that.
They have they're going to have a lot of different options. Pittsburgh Hornet says, "Hey Moan, if you can bring Pat Freiermuth onto the show, do you bring him in on Moan Day or Friar Day?"
Well, here's the thing. They are in the off season, so their free time is theirs. Whenever I reach out to them and say, "Hey, can you go this day?" we will blast out all the information to alert you guys on that. And I want to do it somewhat soon too, because I don't want him talking too close to OTAs or nothing like that. So it'll be very soon for Pat.
Looking at internal options, Jordan mentions that Nate Herbig is still on the roster. I'm a little bit suspicious of Nate Herbig because he just didn't get onto the field. He
did not.
Okay. State of the Steelers says maybe they would move James Daniels to center. I mean, he played it in Chicago. Do you think after all this time at right guard that they'd move him back?
No, he had a solid last 2 years, if I'm not mistaken, right, at that position too. You don't move two chairs to make one person comfortable. It's just not how it works. And besides, like I said, in that building that I played in and worked out of, there's the O-line and then there's a wall for the center. Those dudes are coveted in Western PA. So I don't know who is going to be DK, but like you just said, you don't cut a guy like Mason Cole right now unless you find yourself in a position knowing who your next guy is.
Mm-hmm. We will complete today's program by bringing up a point that Howard Fearman makes. Why isn't Darnell Washington considered as a unique end zone option? And Darnell had his catches, you know. He had a handful. He wasn't super active. He was in practice. They threw to him in practice quite a bit.
Yeah.
And I just get the sense that this was going to be a year, Moan. And you've said this yourself. Actually, no, wait. You said this before it happened. You said they weren't going to be getting him super involved because of what?
His specialty is pass. I mean, run blocking.
And they just wanted him to get really, really good at that. Yeah. That's what his rookie year was always going to be defined by, wasn't it?
So, yeah, it is. And he completed those things. And you see when he started to do those things, he got a nugget here or there, right?
He did. He gets some passes. That's a great word for it, too. Every once in a while, he'd run to the right or something, and he'd get one of those little flicks, and he'd get 5 or 6 yards. And it's like, there it is, Darnell's catch.
That's all you want from them, man. And so that's the thing about it. That's why I told you the other day, they'll tell guys what you did in year one won't wet my whistle in year two. The next thing for Darnell may be pass catching, right? It's a progress to these things. It's a buildup. You know that, DK.
There are things that Darnell has to do as a pass catcher to progress.
Yeah.
There are things that he has to do in terms of footwork, in terms of football people say these things.
What do you say, Ramon, DK?
I hear stuff about I hear stuff when I'm there, like, he has tight hips. And I go, what the hell does that mean, tight hips? But go ahead, Moan. Tell everybody, because I actually still don't even know.
Well,
what
I heard Darnell. Darnell having tight hips?
Yeah, what's that mean?
He's a guy that's not necessarily Florida. He's going to beat you. He's going to beat you straight ahead on a go route if he can beat you with his speed. Him going out and doing a five-yard route and cutting out, that ain't a specialty. Linebackers will probably read him like a book, okay? That's essentially what it is. What Pat Freiermuth, he has a little bit more smoothness to it. He's a little bit more fluid in his hips to where you don't know if he runs outwards, you don't know if he's going to stay out or come back in. You read guys like a book. Remember, I always tell y'all, football players are smart when it comes to their game. They just are. And they probably know, this dude ain't got, he got hips like a lineman. That ain't a bad thing. It's just that you know exactly what you're getting yourself into if he's running a route.
All the tight hips jokes are coming in now from Barber, from Calvin. I kind of figured that was going to happen here. Yeah. Washington doesn't have enough wiggle, says Michael Parks. All right,
there
guys.
There we go.
We're going to do a little outro and then call it a week here.
We will. We'll be right back. Look, this turned into one of those days we didn't expect it was going to.
Funny how that works. It is Friday, and Friday means something around here.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, man. Look, hey, Friday, we tell you this at all times. Hey, make it back to us on Monday. Also, call somebody you ain't talked to. Apologize to somebody. Buy a person a random drink. Have a random conversation with somebody. Be nice. But at all things, make it back to us on Monday, y'all. Please. That's all we're asking.
We'll see everybody on Monday. Have a good weekend.
Peace.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.